spoke to the girls and said, that poem needs to be right before I speak, because that's what our message is about today, Resurrection Sunday, about a risen God. It's about the whole fact that our God is alive and well. And I want to share with you before I even get going, is to say to this, all of you, there's nothing more important and nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And I believe that Jesus, who doesn't live in time, our God doesn't live in time, but you and I do. When we get to the point and get to the place to acknowledge what it is he's doing in our life and why he does some things in our life. And it was about 2 years ago, two and a half years ago. You know, God could use anybody he wants, so you don't have to have a title to be used of God. So let me make that perfectly clear. Amen. So if you open your heart up and you open your mind to allow God to use you, amen, he can. And so about 2.5 years ago, Mrs. Fulton came to me and she said, wouldn't it be great when our kids, not just experiencing chapel on Wednesday, but being able to be a part of the ministry and the work and stuff. And I was like, that's it. That's God. That was a time that I was just shooting. And she doesn't know how profound that was and how much that meant to me. And to see y'all here today and what we're doing and where we're moving towards, how important that is that our door be open and be a place where our students can come and worship in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about you, but I was dragged to church with mom, dad, and, you know, my grandmothers, because even my mom and dad had to work. But I never understood what the preacher or the minister was saying. It didn't relate to me, or at least I didn't think it did.
To give him more
but how much more is it to make it relatable and connect with them and with us? Amen. Because if they're our future leaders, again, it can't start tomorrow. It has to start today. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means now we got to do it. And so I'm excited about being able to share that with you as well as with them. And so even our audience that you have tuned in, we thank you and welcome you. I know we've been already online and on with you for the last several minutes, but we want to welcome you that are watching us via YouTube and Facebook Live. We thank you for tuning in and to our broadcast, our service. And my prayer is today that you're honoring a risen God, but you will also exceed and receive what it is the Lord has for you and in your life and your family. Amen? Hallelujah. So with that, I want us to go quickly with the Word of our Bibles. I won't be before you long. Amen. I have a message and a word that I believe God wants me to share with all of you. Amen. And we're going to be coming out of the Message Bible. I've had my Message Bible for more than 5 or 7 years. Yeah, and this is the first time I've really been using it in the first year. And it's like, and the Message Bible is a version of the Bible that God wants to talk. It's a conversation. It's not as laid out like the scripture of the King James or the English version or any of the Amplified or any of the other versions that exist now. It's more of a conversation. And I think we're living in an hour where people need to have a conversation. Hello, somebody. Maybe I'm in the right house. I just believe we're in that time where people need to have a conversation with God. Amen. So I don't intend to preach to you. I intend to have a conversation with you. Amen. That is my goal today. And so I want to talk about Jesus, the risen God. Now what? The resurrection has changed everything. Y'all need to hear me again. I'm talking about a risen God. And he had to go to the cross. And going to the cross, but more than that, that death, that burial, and the resurrection is what I want to be excited about today, because it changed everything for me. Amen. Glory to God. I can truly affirm the resurrection, because had that not occurred, the question is where would we be? But because he rose, and because he defeated death, we are alive and well today. Somebody shout out the word. Glory to God. So I'm going to read out of the Message Bible, chapter 20. Early that morning, it says in chapter 20, verse 1, early in the morning, on the first day of the week. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciples, and the one Jesus loved. And they said, breathlessly, they panicked, and they took the master. They took the master from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. And Peter and the other disciple left immediately from before the tomb, and they ran neck and neck, and the other disciples got there to the tomb first, outrunning Peter, and stooping and looked in, and he saw the piece of linen clothes laying there. And he said, but with the linen clothes was separated, neatly folded by itself. And then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, by the way, it keeps talking about that one that had gotten there first, and that one, that was John. Okay, the one he loved, the one he shared, you know, how much he loved. John had a different interpretation, a different relationship than the others saw, and particularly, and this is coming from John in the book of John, because no one else recorded this the way he did.
That if you want to.
Amen. Glory to God. And it says, the disciples that went, they afterwards, they went back home. Mary stood outside, verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she weeped, she kept looking into the tomb. And she saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, woman, why do you weep? They took my master, she said, and I don't know where they put him. And after she said, she turned away and she saw Jesus standing there, and she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for? She's thinking that he was the gardener, and said, Master, she said, Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him. And Jesus said, Mary, turning to face him, and she said, he in Hebrew, Rabbi, meaning teacher. And Jesus said, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to the brother and tell them, I've ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to tell the news to the disciples. I saw the Master, and she told them everything he said. Verse 19. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearfully of the Jews, they had looked at the door in the house. And Jesus entered and stood among them and said, peace to you. Then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples, seeing the Master with their own eyes, was exuberated. And Jesus repeated his greetings, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I now send you. That's my message this morning. Because not only as Jesus is ascending, I want us to reflect on who we are and what the resurrection means. Because I said, where do we do that? Because in the scripture, and I think many of us miss this, we have preached and teach on the fact of the crucifixion and on the cross, but the real word is to you. What do we do now? He said, just as the Father sent me, I now send you. So there's the point and a place for each of us that we need to gather this and internalize this into our hearts. And so I'm going to show you, share with you some of the things I've written. And it says, after about 6 weeks, at such a random sighting, and the disciples had gathered again, still unsure of their future, would Jesus remain on earth after all? If not, what did he expect of them? And in the first meeting with the disciples after the resurrection, Jesus commissioned them. As the Father has sent me, I send you. And that's at that ascension. He literally turned over the mission to a ragtag group that was still hoping he would revive their faintest dreams of glory. I want to share with you, God has done everything he said he would do. He's done everything that he needs to do. The rest is left up to you and I. The question is, what will we do? What will we do? And he said, it's up to you now. And he said, in the effects, Jesus had healed diseases, cast out demons, brought comfort and solace to the poor, the oppressed, and the suffering, but only in one small corner of the Roman Empire. And now, as he has set loose his followers to take the same message to Judea, I've been teaching this and preaching this to the leadership here and encouraging them. Just as Jesus is one man, I am one man. And the fact is, I can only be in one place at one time. And if we will look at the Bible, as great as God is, and Jesus was in the form of a man, all of his miracles only happened where he was.
That's right.
They only happened where he was. Why am I saying that? Why am I trying to drive that point home? But he said, when he loosed his disciples that he had poured into, and he shared, now I send you. So the same power, the anointing that is on his life, there was an anointing transfer that he transferred into their lives.
Right.
And so at that point in the time, it's so that they could go and do what he had done.
Yes.
He would represent them by looking like them, by looking like him, like sounding like him, by obeying what he did to put place in their life. Now, we are not God, but if we are in his call by his name and set in his presence, we can do the will and the work that God has called us to. That's what I'm encouraging the people to do today. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what the resurrection means to me now. Because on the other side of the cross, he's done something for me that was not done for everybody before that. Not only for me, but for all of you. Each and every one of us had the ability to receive and be covered by the blood. His blood was shed for you and I. And because that blood was shed for you and I, we now have a place in life and in history that no one else has.
Come on, man.
David was great. All the other prophets and great men and women of God were great. But they were on that side, and their anointing was for them in that time. But God saved you and I for a time such as this. I want to encourage the families, the people, and I'm more than ever excited about these young people. Because I have no idea who and how God's going to use them. So I want you to be encouraged this morning that your child, amen, your child could possibly be used of God in a mighty way. And I'm saying, don't take it for granted. Amen. Because so many people, listen, Jesus was God and yet all man. Birthed and born just like you and I. And he had brothers and sisters. The problem with him being raised up in Nazareth was everybody made him come. See, he was just Jesus, the little boy that was born of Mary and Joseph. See, so they didn't see that he could do what he could do and be who he could be. So they didn't receive. There were no miracles done in Nazareth. And the question was because he became common to them. I want to share with you. There's an anointing. And I purposely shared and wanted to share all of the giftings and excitement of our young people this morning. Because I want to share God is at work and is up to something. And if y'all haven't noticed, the devil is after our young people more and more. So it's more encouraging to me to have our young people here. And particularly, I've seen some of our young men up here. And it was behind them. You know, they weren't necessarily out front, but they were there. And I want to say that I'm encouraging them, standing with them, just like my young ladies from there and worshiping. I'm pointing those out because it's important. It's very important. Amen. That we see this, we know this, and that's why this school exists and this church exists. I now know it's not by happenstance. I'm the same guy that runs the school and the same guy that runs the church, but I'm not two different people. Same purpose, same vision, same vision. I get it now. I get it now. And I'm saying that this is the heart of God. Because God is trying to do something. And he wants to accomplish something. And I'm telling you, our future is in his hands. Okay? But he's already delivered it to us. And he says, I have now sent you. And he got that place where we have been called. And let me share with you. So he set loose his followers to take the same message to Judea. That's Delaware. Samaria. That's Philly and Maryland. Amen. And then to the other parts of the world. Glory to God. That's everywhere else we will be. Amen. Where our kids will go. And so 2,000 years later, 3 billion people around the world identify as followers of Jesus. This message has brought us to spread, has spread to Europe, Asia, Africa, and to other and every other continent. And the chances of is that it spreads without the joining events that celebrate as Easter is vanishing small. He said, but before his resurrection, Jesus' few followers were denying him and hiding from the temple police. Y'all remember that? They were hiding because they no, I don't know him. Because you know what? Now they were questioning his power. They were questioning his anointing. I want to, reason I'm pointing this out because I need our students, our parents, and every member and family over here. Are we ashamed of God or will we stand up for righteousness and understand who we are and whose we are to be what God has called us to be? I want to encourage you because it's important that we do because I don't want him denying me. So I have no problem acknowledging him. Somebody shout hallelujah. This makes me excited to be able to know that I can say the name of Jesus and not have to squirm or duck and hide. But yet I can boldly say it. I tell people all the time, I love it. Jesus is welcome here. He's welcome in this house. Amen. Let me share at this school. He's welcome in this school. There's two schools on both sides of us. You can't mention Jesus. He's not welcome at the door. So you want to know what makes the difference? That's the difference. And it's so important because the resurrection changed everything. Because he rose again. By the way, there are thousands of religions out there. Thousands. But there's only one. Only one that has a God that shed blood, that died and rose again. Somebody's not hallelujah. Only one. That's important to all of us because all the rest talk about what. Now I got to tell you something. Our God does put the fears and the pressure on you, but we can't do enough good to make it all right. I tried. It doesn't work. But when I follow and obey him and his word, then I can start seeing the transition change. Okay? I'm here today, standing before you, because God, I didn't give up on God and he didn't give up on me. Statistics and titles of decision didn't place me here. He did. Amen? For a reason and a purpose. He knew this time. He knew this day that would come. And I've given an opportunity to share with all of you this message about Resurrection Sunday. Understanding and listen, Jesus' followers were denying him and hiding from him in the temple priest. Even afterwards, y'all remember Thomas, Dr. Thomas we called him? He listened, Thomas, until he saw fresh scars, not just like you and I. You know, sometimes we deny, well, I'm not going to believe that until I see proof. Well, I want to let you know there's proof in the house. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is getting done what he says he needs to get done. Amen. And it's going to happen. Okay? And I constantly think of Thomas, and we hear about that, him in the Bible there, but we never hear from him again because Jesus met with Thomas that day. He took Thomas's hand and he stuck Thomas's hand on the inside of him. Now I got to tell you something. I don't believe Thomas was ever right again after that. The power of God, the anointing of God that was so strong and he gave him proof. I believe when Thomas is stuck his hand in him, he saw the world, the universe, the law, the beginning, the end. He saw stuff that he had no idea that he could even handle. And after that, we never hear from Thomas again because it doesn't get any better than that. But he had his hand on the inside of our Savior. I just think of like, imagine, like, what did that do? Because it's one thing to be close. It's another to be in his presence. It's another to be in sight. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God. And so Bob and Thomas, and Thomas doubted until he saw proof and flesh and scar. But they came to an understanding what had happened in the resurrection. The disciples were able to glimpse of Jesus' cosmic view of the universe. And at the end of this, and at the Last Supper, Jesus described in 13:17, he said, and Jesus prayed for all who would follow. My prayer is not for them alone, but I pray also for them that will believe. If you'll turn to John chapter 17, I want to go there. John chapter 17, this is important. Because in John chapter 17, it's the only place we see and know where Jesus prayed and what he prayed for. No other place is described where what Jesus prayed for. There's no other way. We know that Jesus prayed. We know that Jesus got a word. But we know that he prayed like you and I pray. But no, we don't know what he prayed. But here, he tells. John is able to explain what Jesus prayed. We got to get that stuff. He explains to him in verse 19. I believe it is. Verse 19 of chapter 17. And this is where he's now, he's praying. And Jesus, all throughout the scripture, is praying. But here at verse 19, he says, and I'm going to back up a little bit. It says, in the same way that he gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. This is to you and I. And he says, I consecrate myself for the sake, so that they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. And then verse 20, he says, I'm praying not only for them, that's you and I, okay? I'm not only praying for them, but I'm praying also for those who will believe in me because of them. Listen to this. This is what I was talking about. After the resurrection, he said, I'm praying for them that would believe because of them. Who are the them he's talking about? It's you and I. And so because of what we do, and because of what we say, and because of who we are, and because of what we believe, then we can make a difference in others' lives because they can see it. So he said, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them that they will see and that they would know. I'm praying for them, amen, so that they would get a chance to hear. Amen. And that they would get a chance to understand. He said, that's what I'm praying for. And he said, so if I'm praying for them in this fashion, in this manner, he said, so, and again, this isn't about what he said. My question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? How do we live? How do we walk? You know, one of the things that's so important for me is that with the students here through the school today, is that I stand and walk before them as the man that God has called me to be. I don't have an option to be anything else, and I don't want to be anything else. I want to walk before them to be the man God's called me to be, so that they can see. And most of my students will be able to tell you, you know, and I don't have to holler and scream at them. I don't have to do any of that. If something's not right, I can say, hey, you know what? That's not what God would do. And you know, I feel like you let me down or something. And you see tears rolling down their face. Why? Because they understand who they are.
Amen.
But at the same token, I want them to know that the chances and the possibility, will they make mistakes? Yes.
That's right.
But, oh, this is the great part. When he went to the cross, he covered my sins. Not just some of them, all of them. And so I need them to know that through this process of getting it right and getting to know him, you know, they sung a song that I know him. And now getting the dead that I now know, they need to know him. And as they get to know him, they will operate better within him. Amen. It's important. And so this development and this process takes place. By the way, how many know this walk is a process? It's not a magic overnight. Everything changes. Hallelujah. Everything's perfect. That's not how it works. But if we'll keep working and keep working on, amen, and keep on and stay with them and not make them feel less than, but build them up. That is our goal. That is my heart. Because guess where I learned that from? He did.
Is that Mike on up there?
Somebody shout out. Listen, because he listened. My prayer is not only for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that they, that of them may be able, may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, he said, and then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. And I want to tell you, that love is the agape love. That agape love is the kind of God kind of love. And it wasn't because I did everything right, but it was a love because I called them, I brought them out of darkness into my marvelous light, and they're working it out on my behalf. So we're acknowledging him, we're walking with him, and as we walk with him, we can now share that with others. And he says, so my question to all of us is, how are we doing? We Jesus followers in the 21st century. We should be known for our unity and our confident hope. We even are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. That's what Jesus, as Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 14. He said, if we truly believe that Jesus is risen, let that reality soak in. It should help calm the fears and anxiety over such matters as the economy, the 2024 election, the global unrest, COVID, all the stuff, Instagram, Facebook, all the social media, all the stuff that we keep thinking is our enemy, our against. But how much more is our God? And how great is our God? Hallelujah. So the what's going on in our world, and he said, listen, he said, if we truly believe that Jesus is risen, let the reality soak in, and it should help calm those fears and anxiety over those matters. And he said, to those watching the world, followers of Jesus should stand out as peacemakers, as bridges, people committed to love, not the spies, our opponents, and even our enemies. Yes. A friend, listen. This is a friend of mine stopped dead in their tracks by a skeptic. After listening to them explain their faith, he said to this, but you don't act like you believe God is alive. I want to say this to you. How many people, skeptics, are watching you and I? That's and right. They make statements and say,
I don't know, because they jump back to 14.
We believe that God's alive. Hmm. Now, a skeptic's a skeptic. Okay? I'm not telling you to believe them. They're just skeptical. That's their nature. That's who they are. But my question is, when we walk before them, so this is one of the things I share. You know, I've had people say and do things and make statements about me or life, and you know, but they don't know me. And my question is, the skeptics, I said, then show me the evidence. There's no blood on my hand. But the question is, do I act like it? So, and I would, my question would come to them, have I not walked before you as a man of God, as a child of God? Have I done something that's displeasing to you? I recently reached out to a friend who was talking to another friend, and he was saying things that the other friend said, listen, I'm not going to listen to that from you. And I want to share with you, this is important, because after the cross, the resurrection changed everything. And if we can't be men and women of God that love God, show love, and come back and even correct our wrongs to make them right. He said the guy was talking and was saying nice things about me. The other guy said, listen, I'm not going to listen to that. He said, the reason I'm not going to listen to that is when I came here to Delaware from Michigan, I didn't know anybody, and I met him, and I met him as he started the church, and he opened his house up and took us in, me and my family. And he said, I'll never forget that. And he said, but I won't sit here and listen to you talk bad.
I'm going to throw up the offering slide.
And he called me, and he was upset. And he said, you need to call him and get this right. And I reached out to the young man, and I said, listen,
I'm going to throw the slide
this is true, because I love the brother. I said to him, I don't know what I have done that causes you some unrest or trouble. But I say this, and if you're willing, if you want to share it with me, I'm open. If you don't, then that's okay as well. But I want to tell you, if I offended you in any way, shape, or form, I'm sorry. I said, I ask you, please forgive me. But I said, I only know you as a man of God and a person that has done good things. And that's all I know. I've never said a negative thing. I don't have anything negative to say. I said, but I don't know what's caused this rift and whatever's going on in you. But I want you to know, I please forgive me. Because I've learned something. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross. But he did for you and I. I was guilty. You were guilty. But he went anyway on our behalf. And I was thinking, if he can do that, how much more for us? You know, gotta let our pride down. You gotta let the thing. And I'm not making it right or wrong. I still don't even know what I did or didn't do. But nevertheless, I didn't have a problem apologizing. Because Jesus didn't have a problem going to the cross for you and I. And so, but in essence, I wanted to question it. What does it look like? Do we act like it? Well, I believe that was an act towards looking like Jesus. Okay, now I got to tell you, it's challenging. It's very challenging. I get it. It's challenging for me, so I know it's challenging for you. But I do think it's the right way and the right thing to do. That Jesus, there's nothing wrong with him. He hasn't gotten it wrong yet, and he can't get it wrong, by the way. So the challenge is for you and I to do it. So listen. He said, but you don't act like God's alive. I believe that we're turning that around. That's my question to all of you. He said, we got to try to turn the skeptics, we got to turn the skeptics, not try, turn the skeptics' accusation into this question. Do I, ask yourself, do I act like God is alive? It's a good question.
Great question.
One way to ask myself again and again every day. And he said, this is what I'd like to leave everybody with today. Do you act like he's alive? And do you believe he's alive and working in your life? We can start all over again today because this is what Resurrection Sunday means to us. Somebody give the Lord a round of applause. This is your purpose. This is your meaning. And because of this meaning of what he's done for you and I, today we can act like Jesus is alive. Because he is. Amen. Amen. I am done with that. And right after this, I'm going to ask another one of my students, one of my seniors this year. She has a poem, and I'm going to have her share her poem because, again, the opening one was right in line with what I'm saying, and the closing one will be right in line with it. My prayer is that all of you, if you heard me, I hope that you also hear these poems. These are not just mere words, but these are words of God. Amen? Emma, would you come?
Easter, Joy, and Praise by Mary White. Easter is a time for joy and praise. From out of the darkness and into the sun's rays, Jesus moved the boulder and returned to forgive all sin. Now our joy in Christ can really begin. The light of Jesus truly will never end. He suffered so that our souls would be able to mend. With joy and praise on Easter, we rejoice and praise him together. With the strength of one voice.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are coming to the end of our service. We're getting closer, but there's a few more things we're going to be doing. And I got a couple young men that are going to come up and help us. And we're going to get ready. This is an opportunity for you guys to participate. This is our offering time. This is our time to give. This is a time when you can give back into the ministry. We are a tithing church. We are a giving church and offering.